Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on a Friday. And yes, we're changing gears. We need to. I think I need a shower after that whole last segment. But we are changing gears right now because on Friday afternoons, we set aside policy and politics and all the power plays, and we jump on into a segment we call JP on Sports, because those of y'all that don't already know, JP's like a guru on sports, like all things sports. Sports, he's got it. So we do a thing called JP on Sports with two rounds. The first calls the three and out. He does three top stories, three and out. And then come back to the next segment. It's called the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer, and we go 2 minutes at a time. He's also got the best sound effect of everything we do in the show, courtesy of Auburn Sorority Girls. Hit it, man.
JP on Sports!
All right, JP on Sports, three and out. Number one, what you got?
So we have a pretty substantial and a big executive order from President Trump that we've actually been waiting. I've been waiting for something like this to come. It's called the Saving College Sports Executive Order, which he signed on July 24th, so yesterday. And you know, he had conversations with Nick Saban apparently about maybe creating a commission for college sports, and Saban, you know, kind of responded, said he doesn't know if that's necessarily required, but kind of gave Trump some guidelines on stuff that we should do. But this executive order, it prohibits third-party NIL, and it says, this is word for word in the executive order, pay-for-play scenarios. So in other words, you know, third parties that are separate from the school itself cannot pay players to go to a certain school and NIL. So that is a big one, I think. You know, for example, if Nike or somebody, I'm just saying Nike, for example, wants to pay somebody to go to Oregon or something like that, is supposed to prohibit that from happening. And this new era of revenue sharing, it's also specifically aiming to protect women's sports and non-revenue sports and Olympic sports. So, you know, we talked about this last week, I think, where this not the revenue sharing era, the sports that don't necessarily bring in the big bucks like football, basketball, you probably lump baseball in there, probably on the lower end, you know, like the swimming sports, track and field sports, you know, sports like that, they're at risk of getting cut because, you know, the school's got to make a business decision. They can't afford to, you know, provide money to the schools that aren't bringing in money. Yeah. But this is specifically, it says collegiate athletic departments with greater than $125 million in revenue during the 2024-2025 athletic season should provide more scholarship opportunities in non-revenue sports than during that said season. So in other words, you have to produce more scholarships in those sports than last year. So hopefully this protects those sports. You know, I don't want to see any sports like that go away because of this new era of college sports. But I will say this needs congressional action. This legally doesn't do anything. It kind of just sets the framework and guidelines moving forward, which is helpful, which is very nice. But there's a SCORE Act in Congress right now that needs to be passed that will pretty much protect schools from having to identify players or student athletes as employees. This is actually being co-sponsored by Shamari Figures from our Alabama delegation. I think that would help a lot. But this executive order is a good start. It's a good framework and good guidelines to set.
Has Tuberville commented on that executive order yet? Do you know?
He has. He's spoken highly of it. And Saban, actually, I got a clip. If you want to play, it's like 20 seconds. Saban last night.
All right.
Was on Fox News talking about this and what he thinks about the executive order. So I'll play that real quick.
Go for it.
President Trump's executive order takes a huge step in, you know, providing the educational model that has always been what we've sort of tried to promote to create opportunities for players, male and female alike, revenue and non-revenue, so that they can have development as people, students, and develop careers and develop professionally if that's what they choose to do.
There's actually a part, it wasn't in that clip, where he said that colleges shouldn't be sponsoring professional teams, which is kind of, that's pretty much what it was boiling down to.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we got a professional team over here. You'll wear our logo on your jersey, but you're kind of your own entity.
Yeah.
So I think this will help protect that moving forward. And but like I said, we need Congress to act as well.
All right. That's cool. And by the way, it was nice of Saban to sit in the 1970s grandmother's basement with the wooden panel.
He's got a wooden vibe going on. If you go to his office, his office was all wood too. It's interesting.
All right. That's one. What's two?
So I don't know if you saw this, but the WNBA All-Star game, we had a stunt from the players where they came out and wore shirts that said, pay us what you owe us.
Yes.
Which
means that they owe us money now.
I was just about to say. So it's kind of ironic because in a league that has not produced a profit ever in its existence is now coming out and saying that they need more money, actually. And okay, so if you want to have the argument, and I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of like the WNBA budget, but if you want to make an argument that they should maybe be getting a higher percentage of the revenue they bring in, I guess that's a separate argument. But it is just rich and ironic. It is ironic for players to be in a league that has not made a profit and wouldn't even survive if it wasn't for the NBA giving it money, a lot of money, for them to now come out wearing shirts to say, you better pay us what you owe us. It's like, okay.
This is like Starbucks baristas going on strike to me.
Yes, and it's funny. Somebody actually made a meme and photoshopped the shirt Caitlin Clark wore. It said, pay me NBA money, which, to be fair, she is making NBA money with her sponsorships and such. I think it's indicative of where their mindset is as a whole. I don't think they understand how money works. Like, you actually have to make a profit on things to be a successful business. And if we're going by that metric, then that means the WNBA has never been a successful business because it never brought in a profit. now that could change. I think Caitlin Clark, but not only Caitlin Clark, I think Angel Reese is doing a good job of bringing publicity to the sport. You got other players like Paige Beckers and these up and coming players. I think they're bringing a lot more eyes to the sport, but let's not be mistaken. Caitlin Clark is the main player responsible for all the new eyes. So hopefully this will get better moving forward in terms of the money that's coming in, but it's just totally out of touch and there's no self-awareness on the WNBA players' role for them to come out wearing those shirts. It's like, come on, you know, like, I want the WNBA to do well, but also you need to bring in money to get money. That's how it works. But I just thought that was quite interesting.
Meanwhile, isn't Angel Reese about to like foul out for the season? I mean, aren't they talking about suspending her for like all her flagrant fouls and stuff like that?
I don't know. That wouldn't be surprised.
She's a street rules player. She's out there wearing a t-shirt that says pay me more.
I mean, she's good for the sport as well. You know, we kind of need a heel in the WNBA. So, you know,
Caitlin Clark. You just mix WWF and WNBA.
Caitlin Clark is like the baby face. So you need a good heel. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's going to get better, but it was still pretty rich to see that.
All right, that's two. You got about 2 minutes for a three. What you got?
I gotta give an ode to the Hulkster, the last last but certainly not least. Hulk Hogan passed away yesterday, but we gotta give him his flowers for what he did to not just professional wrestling but culture as a whole in the 80s. I mean, he was an American icon for what he did and what he represented. But I saw this crazy stat. I had to actually double check it and look it up to make sure I wasn't getting trolled. This is true. So apparently Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant, their wrestling match, WrestleMania 3, apparently had 33 million people watch it on television.
Really?
33 million.
Wow.
You think that's more than all of the major sports all-star weekends in 2025 combined. So this was, I mean, that not only Hulk Hogan but Andre the Giant as well. They represented something much, much bigger than just, you know, wrestling. I mean, you look at Hulk Hogan, that is, he is America. And you look at what he did at the RNC too.
Yeah.
Giving that speech, ripping off his shirt in support of President Trump.
At 70 years old.
70 years old, that's correct. But I've also enjoyed thoroughly seeing all the classic Hulk Hogan matches that have been posted on Twitter for me to watch. I watched one last night of him and the Ultimate Warrior. But it also has been given a conversation of people giving their wrestling Mount Rushmores. I would say, you know, Hulk Hogan's got to be at the top. Hulk Hogan's got to be one. I would also say, you know, The Undertaker's got to be on there.
Oh, yeah.
I think John Cena's got to be on there as well. And then it's kind of a split between Stone Cold and The Rock. I got to go Stone Cold Steve Austin on there as my Mount Rushmore. I don't know how many wrestling fans we have out there want to provide us their Mount Rushmore. But I think it's wide, you know, across the board, Hulk Hogan sits at the top. And it's very deserved. The world of not only just professional wrestling, but sports entertainment as a whole would not be where it is without Hulk Hogan. So, rip, and he needs his flowers. He deserves his flowers. I've been happy to see all the flowers he has gotten across the board the last couple of days.
Accolades everywhere. Yes. Absolutely. All right, man, that was three. Wow, that went fast. All right, I'll tell you what, jump into a break. We'll take the break, come back for round two of JP on Sports. We call it the 2-minute warning. I've actually got a timer, and we got a buzzer, and he's got 2 minutes per. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right, we're on this gig we call JP on Sports, and we're in round number two, which means I got to get to my stopwatch because this is where we do it with a buzzer and a timer, and he's got 2 minutes per. It's called the two-minute warning. So, JP, two-minute warning. Are you ready? Go.
We got some reports in this new era of conference realignment and college football, but all sports as a whole. Apparently, North Carolina is aiming to leave the ACC to join the SEC in the near future, and this is an apparently, the exit fee for the ACC is going down to $75 million after Florida State sued on behalf of that. And Clemson is also being reported as potentially leaving the ACC to join the SEC. And can I just say, you know,
can everybody be in the SEC?
Apparently, you know, we got USC and UCLA in the Big Ten, and we're just in an era where nothing makes sense in college. Nothing makes sense in college football anymore. It seems like, but yeah, I can't express enough how much I don't like this. I don't like UNC being in the SEC. Clemson, you can kind of make a claim for that, but
we got enough Tigers.
Yeah, that is true too. I don't know. Maybe I'm a traditional college football enjoyer. I don't like seeing all these new teams flooding the traditional conferences. Just bring back the Pac-12 too, and make it, this everything's about money in college football now, and this is just another example of that. I understand Bill Belichick is now the coach at UNC, and you want him to be in the prime time of the SEC, so I can understand that, even though I don't think Bill Belichick will last more than like 2 or 3 years there. I can understand it from that standpoint, but just come on, like, this is nonsense in my opinion. Why does UNC need to join the SEC other than just, money and TV rights and all of that? It's just, we're going to have two mega conferences of the Big Ten and the SEC any day now.
That's what we're going to have.
And it's just, it's so unfortunate. I don't know. I may be too traditional minded. I may not be, understanding all the nuances in this. I mean, although I understand the arguments, I don't like it. I think it's nonsense.
The BCS is going to be SEC North versus SEC West, yes, versus SEC South versus SEC East.
I saw somebody make a good troll too about how they don't want UNC joining the SEC because it would bring down the basketball at the conference.
Wow, there's the buzzer. All right, I got to reset the clock. That's just funny.
Yeah.
Go.
So are we getting the Redskins name back? Because apparently Trump is trolling on Truth Social again about bringing back the Redskins name.
He is.
I'll say first that the reason they changed it in the first place was obviously, ridiculous. And the original, Indian group that wanted the Redskins name in the first place did not support it getting changed. And actually, there's some members of the Native American community actually, producing legislation saying we want the name changed back to the Redskins.
They're good with it.
I'll just say I don't think it's going to happen. However, I think it's important that it is happening because, I've talked about this before, about the culture shift in the sports world, and we saw a decrease in teams, participating in pride events. We've seen other stuff across the board of, de-woking sports. But it is important to also call out how ridiculous it was in the first place. Last week I talked about how the All-Star game was stolen from Atlanta and how Dave Roberts, was like, had no response to when he was pressed about it. I think that calling people out and holding them accountable for how dumb it was in the first place could prevent it happening again, And there's still Indian names out there. The Braves are one. The Braves survived it somehow, although the Indians and the MLB did not survive it. We got the Guardians and the Commanders now, which are lame, completely lame names. And the Chop somehow survived with Florida State and the Braves. So hopefully those don't go on the chopping block next. But although I don't think the name's going to get changed back, I think it's important for the culture war, for there actually to be a push from not just the president, but the Indian groups in the D.C. area who are like, hey, that wasn't cool. just so we weren't for that. So who knows? There's a new stadium potentially being built, and there's some people claiming that Trump may, not want to give them federal funding until they change it back. I don't think that's going to happen. But
there it is. All right. That was good, man. And I missed the Redskins, but go ahead.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Restart the clock. You got time? Yes, we do. Go.
Well, Scottie Scheffler did win the British Open last week to everyone's expectation. How demoralizing is it, too, by the way, that him giving that speech about how golf doesn't fulfill him and all that, and then he just goes on, I'll just beat you by four strokes anyways. Not have a reaction after I make the final putt either. He's just the best in the world by far now, and it's actually a crazy stat. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but the amount of time it took Tiger Woods to get from his first major to his fourth major win was the exact same to the day time it took Scotty to get from his first to fourth major win. I've seen a lot of people comparing Scotty to Tiger. I think it's a little bit early to do that. Okay, Tiger is by far the greatest golfer ever. However, it is pretty clear Scotty Scheffler has removed himself from the rest of the field by a large margin. But now next, we got the Ryder Cup coming up in September. And you know this is where the Americans go up against the Europeans in a very entertaining match. And it's also entertaining, too, because you see sort of the rivals in the American side of things sort of come together. But also some of the best in the world, like Bryson DeChambeau, and who is in LIV now will be teaming up with people like Scottie Scheffler. You got other guys in there like Justin Thomas and such going up against Rory McIlroy and other European great golfers. This will be coming up in late September. So, now that we got the best golfer in the world, obviously with Scottie Scheffler, I'm looking for a big American win in the Ryder Cup. We got to have it. American win in the Ryder Cup, especially, with how Scottie Scheffler's been playing. I think the Americans will come up with the win on that, but we need Scottie Scheffler to do what he does. So,
well, Scottie Scheffler tends to do what he does.
He does, yeah. Although golf doesn't fulfill him, apparently.
And he did have the most heartwarming end to a to an Open when his family.
He did
came
when
out
his son came out on the green. It is great.
Good stuff.
He doesn't have much of a reaction until he gets with his family and celebrates. So it is rewarding to see a golfer have that perspective.
And there it is. And how much time you got? You got good? Are we good to reset the clock? You got about 30-40 seconds.
20 seconds. Yeah.
Take it. What do you got?
We did see a big retirement in UFC this last week. Dustin Poirier hung up the gloves. It was his retirement fight. He went out on a loss, but it was still great. He was fighting in his hometown of New Orleans, so he was able to get his flowers. He had been fighting since he was 17 years old, so it's been a long time fighting in the UFC there, so I was glad to see him, although he didn't go on to win, like I said, get the flowers that he deserved, and he'll be back home. Yeah, he had three shots at the title, four shots, actually, I believe, was not able to get it, but still, nonetheless, one of the greatest MMA fighters ever, so I'm glad to see Dustin Poirier get the proper recognition.
Perfect. There it is. JP on sports. You took it all the way to the wire, buddy. All right, listen, that's it. We do it every Friday. In the meantime, we're coming up on the final half hour. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back.